Let's get into this morning's word, all right? Open up your Bibles. We're going to look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103 this morning. In our Bible First Lifestyle reading, we read 2 Chronicles 5-24 and Psalm 103-106 this week. If you are a guest with us or you're fairly new to Abundant Life, we have been going through the entire scripture from cover to cover this year. And our goal was to really get inside of us this habit of not only reading God's Word, but applying and practicing God's Word on a daily basis. And we're learning how practical the Lord's Word is. Even some of those Old Testament passages that are maybe a little bit hard to understand and hard to walk through. If you don't have the schedule, it looks like this. Piece of paper looks like this. They are either in the Welcome Center or in the foyer, right? As you go out, it's the wall that's behind this one. And you can get one of your reading schedules. Please follow along. And if you've already, kind of lost track a little bit, you got a little bit behind, it's okay. Jump right in where we are. This coming week, we're in 2 Corinthians, I believe. And we'll be walking through that. And I'll teach on that next week. So I teach on the passage that we just finished reading. And it's amazing how God will speak to you something. And then I'll teach on it. And I get lots of conversations that you say, the Lord spoke to me that exact thing. Well, yeah, because it's God. And it's His eternal word, and He speaks to us. So get into your Bibles every day. This is lifeblood, amen? This is not an optional, oh, when I get to it. This is your breath, this book. And as you read it, and as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you will experience life change. You will experience the Holy Spirit of God doing things inside of you that you never thought would occur. Changing your nature, changing your character, changing your attitude. So let's get into God's Word each and every day this week. So today we find ourselves in Psalm 103, and I want to teach you this morning a message entitled, The Perspective of Praise. The Perspective of Praise. How the people of God respond in troubling times. How the people of God respond in troubling times. It's not very often that I preach on the Psalms, so I'm actually very excited this morning to teach on this. And it's a crucial thing to learn to live our life with the perspective of praise. How many know we're in some pretty contentious times in our nation? In the last couple of weeks, we've had three shootings that have brought national attention. Gilroy and Dayton, Ohio and El Paso, Texas. It's leaving people angry. It's leaving people frustrated. It's leading our politicians to position themselves and to spin these certain things so that they can manipulate them in a way that would give them the most power or the most credibility in their minds. It's leading our media to spin them according to the headlines and according to the attention that they can draw. It's even beginning to get itself into the fabric of the church even. So as I look and I listen to podcasts and I listen to the media and I even get on social media, see the body of Christ even tempted to have divisions occur within depending on which position that you take on some of the issues that are arising out of these things. And in times like this, we can be tempted to be overwhelmed with the violence, the anger, the frustration, the inability to think about absolute truth, the inability to come to agreement on what is right, what is true, what is allowable, what does God's Word say, and is it valid in these certain... It can make us just so tense and so stressed. And how many have felt that stress? How many have felt that tension? We felt that as we see things and feel things, and maybe we're concerned about speaking out or not, and we it just builds up in us. And I want to tell you this morning that there is a remedy for this. There is a remedy to keep our spirits and our hearts right, and that's to learn the power of praise. The power of praise. It's a change of perspective in our life. If we change our perspective to a perspective of praise, you'll find yourself responding in troubling times in a godly way versus in a worldly way. Praise the Lord. It's really that simple. It brings you hope when you praise the Lord in hopeless times. It brings you courage when you feel weakened. It brings you calm when you feel anxious. It brings you hope when you feel like everything is spinning out of control. There's one word that is not translatable. It's the same word in every single language on the planet. That one word is hallelujah. And that word means praise the Lord. I don't think that's an accident that God in His wisdom said, I want one word that everybody on the planet can understand when it's spoken, and that's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to dig in this morning on this topic of the perspective of praise. I'm going to give you four ways that the power of praise changes our perspective and how it can help us. And then I'm going to give you five practical things that you can do each and every day. First, though, before I get there, I want to put our times in perspective a little bit. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Would you say that with me? Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. That's an ongoing practice. That's a continuous attitude. That's a regular, consistent mindset. And in times like this, we need that. But if you're tempted to think things are so out of control, so crazy, so off the hook that we're never going to recover, can I just remind you that we've been through some pretty crazy times in our country? It wasn't but about 150 years ago, 160 years ago, that we had a war in our country called the Civil War. You might feel like the political parties are at each other's throats. And the conservatives and the liberals are at each other's throats. There was a day 150 years ago when people literally in our country picked up arms and were killing each other over issues. Some really, really important issues, but it threatened to actually rip our country apart. And more people died in that war, more Americans died in that war than every other war that we've ever been in combined. It was a pretty bad time in our country. A few years later, something like 50 years later, there was another war, a global conflict that we got involved with. Started in Europe, World War I. A massive global catastrophe. And right now we might think that, oh, an issue with China is really troubling, or an issue with the European Union is troubling. And they are. They need to be thought through seriously. There are issues. But we've been through some pretty tough times, and God has always been faithful. About 9, 10, 12 years after that, our country faced a Great Depression where food lines were long and people were literally starving, where work was impossible to find. And that was just less than 100 years ago. About 60 years ago. World War II and the Holocaust. Who could forget that? I think there are probably some people in here that were alive. Maybe. Maybe not. We're getting kind of the end of that generation. But there are still some people living today that went through this, where something in the neighborhood of 60 to 80 million people died in the wars. And then, of course, the Holocaust with the 6 million Jews. A global event of just unimaginable disaster. And the civil rights issues that we faced in the 60s. I was alive then. I was little, but I was alive. And even remember some of the news. You know, when you're little, you can remember snapshots if you can't remember whole narratives. And I remember some snapshots, and I remember some news reports and things about the Vietnam War and the civil rights stuff and how contentious and how horrible that those things were. We've been through some pretty rough times in our country. But I want to tell you this, God, through His people, and God through His omniscience, and God through His sovereignty, has always held us. But there's coming a day when it'll all be gone, that God is going to return in His might and in His power. But what I'm trying to get through to us today is that no matter how crazy we feel the times are, there have been crazy times before. And the perspective is this: we must remain rock solid on the one thing that is constant, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one constant. He is the lion and the lamb. He is the unshakable. He is the immovable. He is the unchangeable. He is the eternal. He is the sovereign. He is the redeemer. He is the beginning. He is the end. He will not change and he will always remain. And he is the one that we plant ourselves on. He's the solid rock. He's not shifting sands. And if we must in these times press our minds and even kind of redirect our thinking on the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. The most important thing to protect in these really difficult times is our heart. It's easy to get bitter in these times. It's easy to get angry. It's easy to get despairing. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to feel overwhelmed. And we have to guard our heart. And we guard our heart through our mind. The mind is the gatekeeper of the heart. What we think about determines the attitude of the heart. What we think about determines the contention in our heart or the stress in our heart. What you think about is where everything starts. It's the gatekeeper. So today I want to speak to that a little bit and talk about how does praise change our perspective? How does praise change our perspective? Now, in our psalm, we read Psalm 103 this week. But it was in the context also of 2 Chronicles. And did you read 2 Chronicles? Hopefully you read 2 Chronicles. Those days then were crazier than our days today. A king coming in and idol worship, and they were sacrificing their children in worship to an idol. They were sexually just crazy with their promiscuity and with the deviant sexuality. There was just so much corruption and so much immorality during those days. And yet during those days, the psalmist is writing, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise his holy name." It's no different now than it was then. And it will always be the same. There's one thing that will change your perspective. And that's the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at this. Number one, how does praise change our perspective? Number one, praise reminds us of God's power. Praise reminds us of God's power. Church, you may not realize this, but it may slip out of your mind sometimes. No government is in control on this planet. No economy is in control on this planet. No particular political leader is in control on this planet. There's one who's in control, and his name is God Almighty. He is still in control. Whether or not we think he's in control, whether or not we see situations, and we can kind of put two and two together and say, oh, I can see where God's in control. Sometimes we can't perceive all of that. But don't you be mistaken. God is in control. Scripture says this. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. God is in control. God has angels, and the angels do his bidding at his command. There is no other control greater than that power. God is in control. And that perspective ought to bring some peace to our hearts. Is our economy weird? And now I say, well, it's not weird. It's great right now. But we've got this thing with China. We've got these things with Europe. And we've got this stuff with the Middle East and terrorism. And we've got all these things going on. Yeah, it's going on. But God's still in control. God's still the ultimate power. Well, what about our political scene? It's so mixed up and so confusing and so crazy. Well, it is. But God is in control. These things will pass, and God will reign supreme. We have to remember who God is. God is the ultimate power. God is the sovereign God. Who put the stars in the sky and maintains their position? God does. Who put the sun in the sky and keeps it in the position so it can bring us warmth? God does. Who put the oceans, or put the water in the ocean and then causes the tides to flow and gives us so much bounty? God does. Who keeps the earth spinning on its axis in perfect balance? God does. God is still in control. I'll never forget Sandra and I sitting when I was in Bible school out at the lighthouse in Santa Cruz. And it was a particular raging storm, and we wanted just to go out and just to, you know, just be in the rain, in the car, but in the rain. And we sat right by the lighthouse, and the waves were crashing more than I've ever experienced before. We were sitting in the car by the lighthouse, and it felt like an earthquake. As the water would crash against the cliffs, splashing 15, 20 feet in the air. And I remember she and I sitting there thinking, God is awesome. You don't trifle with these things. Man, I would hate to be in that ocean water right now. You'd be dead in an instant, caught in those waves. But God is the one who keeps them in their place. Where were you during the Loma Prieta earthquake some now 30 years ago? Remember the power of the shaking of the earth? Remember how frightening it was to feel the ground beneath you shift? God is in control of the earth. All you need to do is go through a few weird things and then think, wait a minute. That's nothing. God is above that. God is the power. When you remember God's power, that praise can change your perspective. Number two, praise invites God into your situation. Praise invites God into your situation. Psalm 103:2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That's present stuff. God is the supreme power, but he has benefits today. And we're not supposed to forget those benefits. God is walking with us every day in our current circumstances. He's not gone. He's not unaware. He's not busy with someone else. He's not concerned with another circumstance. He's omnipresent. He's with you, no matter where you are and no matter what you're doing. I often think, and I've thought about this a lot this week, why were we so fortunate to, well, I was born here, some of you were not, to be born here. I've been to some third world countries where I look at those little faces of children, and that cinder block home where 12 or 15 people live in a 10 by 10 space, scrounging for food with no running water, with no sanitation, with no plumbing, and that's their life, and that's all they know. And I think, God, why wasn't I born there? And I start to remember the Lord's benefits. Just in a joking way that the team talked about, oh man, praise God for California weather. Well, that's a benefit. We thank God. Now they thank God in Missouri too when they're sweating through humidity. But have you ever taken, do you take time often to remember his benefits? Why are we here? Why were we born at this time? Why was I born to a Christian family? I could have been born to an atheist family. And right now in this time of my life, thought God was a myth and a crutch that should be disposed of. Why wasn't I born in a communist country where there's a whole different set of spiritual understanding or non-spiritual understanding? Why was I born to a Christian home? God's benefit. Let me read to you some of our American benefits that some of you will find applicable. You may not realize, but if you earn $50,000 a year, you're in the global 1%. The median income of a person on the planet is $10,000 a year. 80% of the world lives on $10 a day or less. 2.3 billion people live on less than $2 a day. And 1.2 billion people, that little less than 7%, live on $1.25 a day. I mean, that's 20% of a cup of coffee for us. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, or spare change in a dish somewhere, then you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep in, then you are richer than 75% of the people on the planet. If you own a car, you're in the top 7%. 1% of the world's population has had a college education. 7% of the world's population own a computer. If you can attend any meeting you want, political, religious, or social, then you're more fortunate than 3 billion people on the planet. If you can read, that puts you ahead of over 1 billion people on the earth. Are we benefited or what? Do we often think about God's benefits? If you will remember God's benefits and you bring God into your present situation, you'll find your perspective changing. There's always something to praise God for. Amen. There's always something. Right now you're thinking. Right now you're thinking. Let me hear two or three or four people. What are you thankful for that's a benefit from God right now? What are you thankful for? Your health. The weather. Thanks, Tim. What? The weather. Health. What else? Your freedom. What else? Your family. Your hope. We can go on and on, right? We can go on and on. We can always find ways or reasons to praise. But where do we end up letting our minds slip sometimes? Oh, life's going to hell in a handbasket. What's going on with our country? Oh, it's going crazy. Oh, everything's nuts. And with that mindset, lets us slip into the muck and the mud. And we forget to praise God. Let's invite Him into our current circumstances. And that praise will give us a whole different perspective. He forgave us our sins. He heals our bodies. He crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things. He works righteousness over the oppressed. He is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in love. This is all Psalm 103, and that's the God we serve. We've got benefits because of God. Number three, praise chases away despair. For me, the greatest despair is being stuck in my sin, stuck in the judgment of my sin, and knowing I can't get out. But God takes that despair away and replaces it with hope. Here's what Psalm 103 says. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us as according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. Get this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins from us. Is that powerful? That takes away our despair. When we know that we are free and right and clear before the Lord, not because we're so good, but because His grace is so powerful. Not because we're so righteous, but His blood is so awesomely cleansing. We have His grace and mercy, and because of that, our despair is removed, our hope is restored. That's our God. And when you get that in your mind, when you allow praise for that to come into your heart, it chases away despair. And you're renewed. Even in the most horrible places, it can be renewed. One of my favorite stories about praise in a horrible place comes from World War II. Nazi Germany, two sisters, one named Corey, one named Betsy, two young Dutch girls. Their late teens, early 20s, their whole family was taken prisoner and put in concentration camps. The father and brothers would die in those camps. They were mistreated. They were abused in Ravensbrück, just north of Berlin. And while they were there, the horror, the abuse, the beatings, the hard work, the treatment, it has the potential to break somebody. And Betsy would always remember her sister Corey saying, "Corey, no hate. Remember, you got to protect your heart. No hate. No matter how bad it gets, don't hate. Because the same infection that gets inside of you." Before she died in that concentration camp, she wrote down this famous line, often quoted, "No pit is so deep that our God is not deeper still." And that praise took away despair and it brought in hope. They used to try to hold Bible studies to renew the hope of the women in that camp. And it was difficult because if they were caught doing that, they could be executed. And they smuggled in a Bible and they decided to risk it anyway. But they found that their barracks were so horribly infested by lice. And they hated the lice and it was just everywhere, all over them. But they began to realize because of the lice, the guards would not come into their barracks, which gave them freedom to have Bible studies. They began to thank God for the lice. You can praise God for anything. Even lice, when you see the hand of God moving. When you praise God, it can remove your despair and it can bring back your hope. And number four, praise reminds us of eternity. Psalm 103:14-17. "For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of a field, and the wind blows over and it is gone, and its place remembered no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children. God is eternal. We're going to pass, but our children, He'll be with them, and then their children, and their children, and their children. He's an everlasting God. And in today's culture, in today's Christian culture, there's kind of a movement to say, oh, we got to get out of eternity, and we got to get into today. We think too much about then when God is in our presence now. Let me tell you, if you don't have the thought of then, you don't have hope now. We've got to keep our mind on the blessed hope so that we can have that perspective and say, today can be praiseworthy. And that will change our perspective. Church, there will be a day, the trumpet will sound, and you and I will be caught up in the air, and we're going to look across the clouds at one another as we're ascending to be in God's presence, and we'll go, dude, it's really happening. What we always talked about, what we always wondered, what we always hoped, it's happening now. It will happen. It will happen. When we keep our life in an eternal perspective, praise is the result. Doesn't matter what it is, it's going to pass. I know some of you this morning are struggling with illness. I'm not making light of your illness at all, but it's going to pass. Because there'll be a day when there's no more sickness. Praise God in your illness while you wait for His healing. You may be in just very stressful times. There'll be a day when all that there will be for you is peace. And let the peace of God that surpasses understanding guard your hearts and minds and give you rest even in a difficult time. You may need comfort. There'll be a day when there will be no more tears. And while there's tears now, let the comfort of what's coming give you faith today to be able to praise God in the midst of your tears while you wait for His answer. That eternal perspective will change us and keep our mind in the right mindset as we live our life. We can praise Him all the time because He is powerful, because He has benefits. He removes our despair and replaces it with hope, and He is the eternal God. Now, very, very, very quickly, let me give you just five practical things that you can practice every day. Every day. Okay, write these, or they're in your notes, but commit them to memory. Write them down somewhere else. Put them on a sticky note. Do something with them. But first of all, welcome God into each new day and thank Him for each day past. Start and finish your day with the right mindset. I like to start my day in the Word of God. I get up, get myself ready, and come down here. A couple of us gather here in the sanctuary in the morning, 7 o'clock. I start my day in praise. God, thank You for this day. Thank You for this new opportunity. Thank You for Your Word. Folks, get into your Bible every day. Get into prayer every day. But you may not be able to do it first thing. At least in the morning, wake up with God on your mind. If you have to put a post-it on your mirror or on your alarm clock or whatever gets you up, no matter, just start the day and say, God, thank You for this day. And when you go to bed at night, look back on the day as hard as it was. It might have been a tough one, but you can always find something in that day to say thank You, Lord, for. Always. Keep your mind in the right perspective. Start and end your day with praise. Number two, fill your mind with praiseworthy thoughts. I struggle with this one because I like to listen to, you know, different media things and podcasts and so on. And I can easily slip into a negative mindset, listening to negative things, and they kind of get in me and I go, yeah, I'm angry too now. And you get frustrated. Fill your minds with good thoughts. Philippians 4 says, whatever is praiseworthy, excellent, noble, true, pure, loving, think on these things. If it's negative, try not to listen to it so much. If it's impure, get rid of that. If it's contentious, get rid of that. Why not think of things that are good and pure and right and holy, and watch how your attitude will change as a result. Watch how your spirit will be uplifted as a result. Fill your mind with praiseworthy thoughts. Garbage in, garbage out, right? Negative in, negative out. Contentious in, contentious out. Stress in, stress out. Pure in, pure out. Positive in, positive out. Cheerful in, cheerful out. Fill your mind with good thoughts. So you may need to evaluate what you allow into your mind. Number three, count your blessings often. Count your blessings often. It's been a good week. Sandra and I, we moved our oldest daughter and son-in-law and grandson to Manteca. They're going to plant a church. I'm so proud. They relocated to a place where I don't want to live. It's hot in Manteca. They live right around the corner from a literal cow pasture. I don't want to live there. They're going there for a reason. There's an area that's growing that needs Jesus. And they said, that's where we want to go. So proud having my son and daughter up on stage with their friends leading worship. So proud being able to worship with my youngest daughter and son every week. So proud. You can always count your blessings no matter what. You can always see God's hand working somewhere. You can always see His movement somewhere. Church, we get caught up in just complaining too much. And Philippians 2 says, do everything without grumbling and complaining. That's a command. Who is going to bring cheerfulness if the church of God is grumbling and complaining? And we're the salt and the light. Count your blessings often. Number four, remember yourself or remind yourself often God is good. Are things tough? Yes, but God is good. Do I like the way things are going? The direction of our country? Not, maybe not, or maybe so, whichever side you're on, but God is good. Do I like the fact that I'm not feeling well? No, but God is good. Do I like that there are shootings and violence in our country? No, but God is good. You see, the conditions of the world do not define our God. Amen. The conditions of the world are the way they are because of fallen man and sin. And God is active and busy about changing that. And there will be a day when it will be changed. When He will come down from His heavenly realm. He will lead His saints with Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will set foot on the Mount of Olives. He will go through the Eastern Gate. He will rule in righteousness. And He will set up His eternal kingdom. God is good. God is good no matter what. All the time, God is good. And God is good all the time. Remember that. He's good no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through. And number five, keep every situation in the context of eternity. We've talked about this already. But keep every situation in the context of eternity. My pastor, before I came on in the 80s, would always say, this too shall pass. It's out of Ecclesiastes. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. But it's hard, but it will pass. But I don't like it, but it will pass. But it's frustrating, but it will pass. Everything passes. I'm going to pass. Closer now to passing than the beginning. Can't wait. See Jesus face to face. It will pass. We've got to keep eternity in mind. God is good. Amen? Amen. Psalm 103. The end of the passage, the first verse is the same as the last verse. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Church, this is a day when we need to praise the Lord. Felice and the worship team can come on up. We're going to close this up. And I don't know what song, Elise, you've chosen, but we need to praise the Lord to finish this off. We need to praise Jesus. And that's our conclusion today. No matter where you are, no matter what you've experienced, no matter what hurts you're in, no matter what tight spot you're experiencing, no matter what health deal you're struggling with, no matter what relational thing has got you down, no matter what condition your work is in and your boss is a problem, no matter what your finances look like, here's the remedy that will change your perspective. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Him no matter what. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the afternoon. Praise Him in the evening. Praise Him in spite of the difficulties. Praise Him because of His benefits. Praise Him because He's powerful. Praise Him because He's eternal. Praise Him because He never leaves you. Praise Him because He's separated your sins as far as the east is from the west. Praise Him that He's gracious. Praise Him that we don't deserve anything we have, but by His mercy, we have what we have. Praise Him that we live in this great country, that no matter how crazy it can get, it's still floating and we're still in that amazingly benefited place. We can praise the Lord all the time. Amen? Amen? Let's stand together and let's give the Lord praise. This is our altar call. This is our conclusion. As we sing, prayer partners come to the front. And if you have particular needs, if you have things going on in your life that you need one-on-one prayer for, come to the front, pray with someone. But let's nobody leave this place with a downcast spirit. Let's no one leave this place with a missed, somehow a missed thought. The one thing we need to realize is if I want my perspective to change about the world I'm living in, it's going to come through praise. And I'm going to give Him praise. And watch your attitude change. Watch your heart change. And then watch how it's contagious around you. Let's praise the Lord together as we close. Ben.
King above all kings, You're the name above all kings.
Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory for this morning. And we leave this place with the hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No matter what's gone on, no matter what will happen this next week, we are determined, Lord, to change our perspective. If not for Jesus, all would be lost. But we have Jesus, so nothing is lost. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for the change that we feel even now in our hearts. Thank you for bringing us up out of a dark place and bringing us into the light. Thank you, God, for giving us the understanding that no matter what, God is good. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your presence. And now we go out into this week. We want to live a life of praise. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus, the strong Son of God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's go out and let's praise the Lord all week long. God bless you as you go. Come for prayer as you like.